desires.
They surrender. Who do they surrender to?
Anya Devata. That means other gods. Devata.
Devata is the word for demigods. Anya Devata.
Sometimes Vishnu is also classified as Devata because of his being Guna Avatar, the Brahma Vishnu Shiva, which is absolute, but sometimes he's in that, compared in that group, under Devata. So this is talking about those who don't surrender to Krishna, but those who surrender to Prabhupada, that surrender, that word shows up. Prabhupada, you see that in text 19? Yan about non Prabhupada, same word. They surrender, Mom, unto me. This one is, Prabhupada, Tanya Devata. They surrender to Anya Devata, others. Hrita Gyan, not the Gyanavan, but the Hrita Gyan. So in the Sanskrit, you can see the relationship, the continuity. So now it discusses what happens to those people who worship the various demigods. So text 21. You are independent, and it is by saying how we're independent or not independent. So that's just describing in different respects. So first, this right. So the verse describes how it happens that background. People may go to Anya Devata because of Vrittagyana, deprived of knowledge. They go to Anya Devata because of their material desires. But actually, the background of success in that enterprise is actually Krishna. We're the super soul. No, nobody else is the super soul. No, not God, not Shiva, not Indra, not Chandra. Only Krishna is the super soul in the heart of every living being. Paramatma. It's one feature of the absolute truth. Therefore, everywhere. The universe. That this situation, Emerson, Ralph Waldo, wrote a poem called Brahma, meaning Brahma. And he paraphrased various things from the Bhagavad Gita. He has this one. Brahman is speaking. When they be fly and flee from me, when they be fly, I am the wings. That's the same way. So you may turn from Krishna, worship Anya Devata, but it's coming from Krishna, the facility to do that. Without his sanction, it wouldn't work on both ends. Into the worshiper, achalam shraddham, the steady faith. Achalam means, chala means liquidity. Achala means steady, shraddha, faith. So that steady faith is endowed to them by Aham. He says, I give them that steady faith that they need to devote themselves to the particular demigod. So the actual capacity to fulfill one's desire by worshipping some demigod delivered by Krishna. So we see in this purport the question is answered as to why the living entity, Krishna gives a living entity, allows him to fall into Maya's clutches. And the idea is that he says here, he does so, there is no meaning to independence. God has given independence to everyone. And there are various explanations for that. Why independence? One is, it's a part of the condition of being part and parcel of Krishna. We are, living entities are small samples of Krishna. And the standard example is that Prabhupada gives is the comparison between an ocean and a drop of water, which is a drop of water is a small sample of the ocean. So there's a difference in the quantity of liquid, but qualitatively they're the same proportion of various salts and minerals and everything should be the same in the drop in the whole ocean. So whatever is there in the ocean is there in the drop of water, qualitatively. So Krishna has one of the qualities, is his freedom. So therefore, the living entity is also a God, freedom. But because he's not the supreme, that freedom works within limits. There are boundaries or limits on that freedom. But within those limits, it is freedom. So the exercise of that independence with that freedom is the allowance to fulfill material desires, or desires not to serve Krishna. So if one wants to worship Anya Devata, Krishna, if Krishna doesn't grant him the facility, what's the meaning of his independence? Any questions about that part? This, of course, is the old theological conundrum of the problem of evil. It's cropping up here. So he gives his independence. But actually, the correct use of independence is to give up all other engagements and fully surrender to him. Because you can see also one is dependent, in the sense that without Krishna's help, you can't fulfill any of your desires. Through Krishna as Super Soul, one is entangled by the material energy, and through Krishna as Super Soul, one is released from the material energy. Both entanglement and release, they come by the gift of Krishna, as you desire. But in either case, you're under the control of Krishna.
Say that someone has tried to sing yoga. It's supposed to be impersonal, right?
It's supposed to be
impersonal, right?
Maybe.
So if somebody's practicing yoga, somebody's practicing bhakti yoga, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between each of them getting to a back and back? One would take longer than the other?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Krishna says that very, very definitely. That the practice of mystic yoga is much more difficult. You know, that was all discussed in the sixth chapter. He describes the process to Arjuna, and Arjuna rejects it as being too difficult.
So, unless desire is
and then in personal, he has a long way to go. Bhavanam Janmanamante, that was text 19. But to me, but it's much trouble. He surrenders unto me.
Unless desires you start having, the closer you come back.
The fewer material desires you have, the closer you are. It's as simple as that. You want to know how close we are? See how many material desires we have. But Krishna can destroy those material desires.
There's different processes of yoga, and they're described as being like a ladder. Announcing fruitive results in the beginning of pure devotional service is the most wrong. So is it at all like this division of karma and mystical yoga and bhakti yoga? Are these lower yogas contained? Each one is contained in the higher yogas?
Yeah, Prabhupada describes it that way. I think he describes it that way at the end of the sixth chapter. We'll go back for a minute to see this. in the campaigns 360, karma yoga without fruitive results is the beginning of this path. When karma yoga increases in knowledge and renunciation, the stage is called jnana yoga. When jnana yoga increases in meditation of the super soul by different physical processes in the mind's own hands, it's called ashtanga yoga. And when one surpasses ashtanga yoga, it comes to the point of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, it's called bhakti yoga, the culmination. Factually, bhakti yoga is the ultimate goal, but to analyze bhakti yoga minutely, one has to understand the other yogis. You get stuck somewhere, you're called by a particular name. So he speaks of it as cumulative.
So what about if your karma is for you to come into this life and suffer due to your past sinful activities, and you come into this life and your karma is for you to suffer from material attachments, and you start by become Krishna conscious, right? You'll be able to you still have to pay that karma, or do you have to?
When you go back to Godhead, it means we have, because that's what I've done in this lifetime. I've got stacked up millions of births and suffering. You go back to Godhead, what happens to all that? You already got a ticket written. It's going to take you through so many things. Krishna tears off the ticket.
So depending on what type of...
Depending on if we act according to devotional service, then Krishna removes that karma. Sometimes it is seen that a person begins devotional service, and sometimes he still seems to undergo some material problems. But that's compared to the fan that's going around after you pull the plug. There's no more impetus, but still the fan is going and slows down, finally stops. Well, there may be some residual. Then we get a kind of token punishment. With the cold, you get maybe replacement for the lung cancer. You're destined. But all your karma, if you appear to holy, all your karma is burned up. Devotional service is compared to a forest fire that destroys all the snakes of material desires. When there's a forest fire, all the animals can run away except for the snakes. It's slow. They get all burned up by a forest fire. Or, the water metaphor is when there's a huge inundation of rain, all the seeds in the ground become waterlogged and cannot sprout. So the sinful desire seeds in the heart, they can't sprout. So our karma is of different kinds. There's the kind that's already ripe, it's come to fruition already, there's some that's waiting to come. The deed's been done, time has passed, and it's waiting to come. And then there's the seed. We haven't done the deed yet, but there's the desire to do the deed in the heart. And so there's all these different stages of our karma. All of these are destroyed by Krishna consciousness. Of course, things we're already suffering for, they may go on.
So also, you can categorize your karma in the different modes also?
Yeah, because you take a different mode of nature, that's also in your past good or bad deeds. Let's go on with this about the demigods here. Well, Prabhupada discusses how the different modes of worship of different demigods. The particular mode of the devotional attitude of living entity toward a particular type of demigod is also arranged by the Supreme Lord. So there's a kind of affinity between a person's nature and his desires and a particular demigod. So all that affinity is created by the Super Soul. It gives the impetus to actually lead a person to it. The verse says, as soon as you desire to worship some demigod, I give him the steady faith, make his faith steady. But here in the purport, Prabhupada says actually super soul actually leads him to that. More than that, even leads him to that demigod. Gives impetus to worship certain demigods. And the demigod can't give the living entity that affinity, but the super soul can. And then in the purport, Prabhupada quotes something from the Vedic Nietzsche that says that as the super soul is part of the demigod, he empowers the demigod to fulfill that desire. So therefore, understanding Krishna's position, all these benefits are given to Krishna. Any other question on that? These are important verses, especially when preaching to Indians.
I just wonder when people pray and they don't get what they're praying for. If they're praying to God, they don't get it. What's the reason there? Because it's so common not to get it, but then their desire is there.
Yeah.
It can be complicated, but what it says here is they tend to get it. So, it depends. I don't know all the complications that are involved. It works. There's a shopping list that Prabhupada gives. He says here, a diseased person, a reckoning, the sun god, etc. The second canto is a whole shopping list. It's in the third chapter of the second canto. What you want, who you go to, the specialists.
Seems kind of strange, though, because in India there are so many people that worship the demigods for material things, but there's so much power to them at the same time.
Well, I guess they didn't pull it off right.
Pull what off? The worship?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of power in there. One also suffers from one's bad thoughts at the same time.
One's bad
thoughts? But, you know, all these Indians coming to America, taking birth in the United States and all that like that. Indian saints who come to America, what do they say about them? So many Americans took their last birth in India. That's what they say. Sometimes you see that. Not so successful. But also you should understand that the actual bona fide worship of demigods has been carried out over India for quite some time also. It's very intricate. It's stated in the Nectar of Devotion that one should worship Ganesh. Ganesh is usually worshipped for the removal of obstacles. And so one can worship Ganesh for the removal of obstacles in devotional service. Prabhupada. Somebody I know wrote Prabhupada a letter to worship Ganesh. The Prabhupada says, he says, because you don't have the facility to worship Ganesh. And actually, see, to worship Ganesh, very particular, you have to have a use of the house. So Krishna worship you can make, huh?
Gold.
Yeah, a lot of gold. A lot of facility. So the demigod worship actually is very, very particular. You can't make a whole lot of mistakes. But Krishna counts as the bhakti, so even our fire sacrifices or our puja, we just do the best we can. You get away with it if you're actually doing the best you can. So it's Krishna. Anyway, lots of things have happened in India. Muslims in India also. They're also suffering. And we shouldn't think that India is as bad off as it appears to be. Because what would be an intolerable life poverty to us. In India, it's because I don't have any money and I live in a village and all my wants are locally supplied for. You understand, and if you live in a rural place and you have no money and you get everything you need by broad bargain, even though all your needs are met for, you can be perfectly happy. Your gross annual income may be, $50, somebody who's old. They ever wonder how you read about these people in these poor countries that have a per capita income of $50 a year? It's not that it's not like it'd be having $50 a year in the United States. Of course, when you go into the cities, then there's another thing. But that's a fairly recent disruption caused by the introduction of industrial into India. But actually, I mean, the poverty in India is there's poverty overcrowding, but all these things are fairly recent. Well, you got to tell it to them, I guess. I never believe that.
Yeah, I know.
It's still easier to get a drink of water in India, even though everybody's worried about the water. It's too expensive that you get here. The Ganges, I'd much rather drink Ganges water every day than Schuylkill. I never drink Schuylkill. Can't swim in it. Swimming out of it. Anyway, that's a whole other topic. Okay? So you have to say that if people are not getting what they want, that means they're falling away from basic standards. As Krishna says here, you get it. Okay, text number 22. So, very clearly, why it is that one may prefer, when the material desires, may prefer not to worship the Supreme Lord. Because to have material desires and to worship the Supreme Lord are contradictory. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that one who worships the Supreme Lord at the same time desires material enjoyment is contradictory in his desires. So there's people, they don't know this, they intuit it, that somehow or other they approach the Supreme Lord, but then they understand it, that they see that pure devotees, they don't have so much, and their material desires sometimes, one is a pure devotee and gets material desires, those are not fulfilled. Sometimes it's seen that devotees are not very well off. A whole discussion about why the devotees of Shiva are so wealthy and the devotees of Lord Vishnu, who is he's the consort of the goddess of fortune, why they're so poor all the time. This has been observed already. So people say that actually by wants and material desire, Vishnu is not really the right person. He removes material desires. I want to have my material desire fulfilled. This is what you want to know about, right? For the living entity who desires to return to Godhead, material desires are... then the kingdom of God will not be a nice place for you. they are no bigger stories. That's what you want. You have to come to where they are. Whatever it may be. So the previous verse says that he makes the faith steady of the devotee, the worshiper of the demigods, and the benefits that the demigods bestow are offered by Krishna. Eva, might be alone. Eva, they're kind of intensive. Maya Eva, by me, no one else. Of course, that. Interesting, another interesting sense. The living entity may forget that everything is the property of the Supreme Lord, but the demigods do not forget. They know that their powers are delegated. They also have an enjoying mood, but they don't forget their powers are delegated by Krishna. Others do. Any questions on that?
Does that mean if someone prays to Krishna for something material?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not really overt, I think somehow it's that they want something material, does he not give it?
If Krishna is really kind to that person, and he usually is, he does not grant his devotees anything that will cause them harm. So if fulfilling that material desire will hurt you spiritually, really hurt you, then he doesn't grant that. But he does something better. So the typical example is there are devotees who approached him with material desires, like Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted a kingdom, he was insulted. He wanted a kingdom bigger than his grandfather. His grandfather was Brahma. But in the course of praying to Vishnu for the fulfillment of that desire, he lost it. And when he saw Vishnu himself, he realized that I'm using Vishnu as a means to something else, but actually Vishnu himself is... It reminds me, like, one time some group of evangelicals handing out a little pamphlet. And there was one stage where we used to get, when we go out of Sankirtan, we get pamphleted to death by evangelical Christians. And this one, it was a little cartoon that was trying to scare you a lot. And it shows people going to God for judgment. See, there's God who's represented as a giant. Giant sitting on the throne. He has no face. It's kind of, I guess, his face is not there. It's kind of bulged out. You can't see his face, but you see this giant's body. And they go before him. And some go off to the right, where their heaven, where their reward is. And the others are cast into the lake of everlasting fire, which then, you know, becomes the focus of the rest of the cartoon. Little bodies falling into the flames. And what was interesting to me was, here's God, but everybody's going off somewhere else. You know, that's the place to stay. That's what you're, they were all going. He was like the traffic cop, you know. So it just indicated that the persons who drew this cartoon didn't really understand that God himself is the ultimate goal. Not some reward beyond or greater than. But that's what Dhruva realized when he saw Vishnu. He saw Vishnu and said, now that I've seen you, I realize what I want is like little bits of glass, valuable gem. And suddenly his desire just became so insignificant. He became so purified by the process that Krishna actually appeared. Krishna appeared. But then he granted him his desire. Anyway, giving him something better than he could have imagined. And localized Vaikuntha planet to be his own planet, which is the pole star. Dhruva means fixed. And moksha, which is imposed on the other naturally. So people hear these stories and they think, wow, you know, I don't. So he grants the desires of the devotees, but first they become purified. So that in devotional service, it's not that anyone is ever unfulfilled or has potentials that are not utilized or things that they would like to do that never get done. Everything is satisfied, much more than you could ever imagine. But if it's actually something harmful, then they don't do that. Shiva does. Ashutosh, he's very easily pleased. People go to him. And there are many stories that actually, like the story of, what's that? One of his, whoever he touched with his finger, what's his name? Vrikashvili. He was a demon that was cutting off bits of his flesh and offering it into the fire to Shiva. That's kind of the guy he was. He's chopping himself up and offering his own flesh in the fire to his Lord Shiva. And he wasn't getting what he wanted. So finally he was going to offer his head. He took a bath and was leaning over the fire. He was going to cut his own head off. And so finally Shiva appeared and said, never mind. Now it goes. So he said, Shiva asked him what he wanted. And he said, I want this power that whosoever head I touch with my finger, their head will explode. Like that. That's what he wanted. Shiva gave it to him. So the first guy who's going to try it on was Shiva himself, immediately. And he said, you got Parvati, she's really nice, you know, I want your wife. So he started to chase Lord Shiva with his finger. You hear the story?
No.
So Shiva goes everywhere to find protection from different, to Brahma and so on. Nobody can protect him from this Vrikashura. Finally Shiva approaches Vishnu. What is Vishnu? So Vishnu says, I'll try to help you. Vishnu disguises himself, right? He disguises himself as a young
Brahmachari.
So, and he speaks Vrikashvara coming out, where's Shiva, I want to get up. Well, what's going on? He said, well, Shiva's giving me this power. Whoever I touch with my finger is going to be killed. Oh, I don't believe that, he says. Vishnu says. He's just very, very persuasive. And started to convince Vrikashvara that he couldn't have given you that kind of power to put himself in a danger like that. How do you know? And so Vrikashvara began to talk about the trick. So finally, after being so persuasive and then nodding, he says, look, just try it out. See if it works. So Vrikashvara put his finger to the head.
He wasn't very bright, was he?
Well, but then, you know, Krishna the form of Brahma. No, it wasn't so bright. People have worshipped Lord Shiva on the mode of ignorance. And also, Krishna is very persuasive. He wants to be talking and doing things you wouldn't ordinarily do. So then Shiva will offer a bit, even though he knew this was a dangerous benediction, it's very important, but still he gave it. But Krishna doesn't do it like that. He doesn't do anything to harm his devotees.
The question arose as to why these sort of people are still in poverty and approach different demigods. But there is a process. First,
Yeah. All these shopkeepers who worship Ganesh all the time, also the Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. And I always say, knowing Indian shopkeepers, they always say, oh, I'm a poor man, my business is not doing well. But you know, they have a lot of money. I think I've sort of become wise. They keep up this front, you know, this little shop. The guy's like, got so much socked away. It's like these merchants in Goy Bazaar and Kandavan. They got the same shop they had 20 years ago, but certain cloth merchants, by virtue of ISKCON's presence there, have really made a lot of money. But it's the same shop, same guy, you know, same. They didn't build a big store the same way, a little hole in the wall, you know. And you don't want people to know how much money you have. Any other questions?